Well, we're going to get started here. I'm amazed at the Lord. I've been really overwhelmed with his presence in the last 24 hours. I don't know what's happening, but so it's very likely that as I'm sharing, I might start crying or something like that because it's there's a weighty presence. But I wanted to, God has laid something on my heart, and then it's been stirred and affirmed by some different preachers that I've been listening to that just confirmed what God's been speaking to my heart. And it's what he's been speaking to our body for the last 6 months. And particularly the last 2 weeks, we've been talking about get ready, get ready, get ready, that the harvest is upon us. And so what Bert is saying is very true. The harvest is upon us, and we're moving into a day of evangelism. There is a hunger for the Lord like no other day that we've seen in our lifetime yet. There's been revivals that have come and stuff for most of our lifetime. There's a few people that did live through some of the past revivals, particularly the Jesus movement, because the renewal didn't have as much salvation as a whole to change our culture. And so what the Lord has really placed on my heart is this need, what we've been sharing this morning and what Sean was sharing. I really feel that there's a presence of the Lord that is brooding over this house. And today I want to talk about what God wants to do to pop the hole into that well that is swirling over us to bring us into the next place that he's calling us to. Part of this getting ready is positioning our hearts. And I listened to a message, it was an interview, and it was Brother Mario Murillo, which we had gone out to Modesto and seen. And I didn't even know this, but recently he just had another tent meeting in Batavia, New York. I'm not sure who has seen that, but it was pretty crazy because he came to the Northeast, and it was Pumpkin Fest weekend, torrential downpours. He literally went a couple hours ahead because it was raining so hard, he felt like his team was going to be really low morale. Like, I mean, it's a tent meeting, and his tents don't have these kinds of sides and stuff on it like this. The tent sat 1,900 people, and there were lines of people 2 hours before trying to get in. 1,900 people filled the place with people standing in the rain outside. He had to start the meeting 2 hours early. You guys, Northeast, okay? New York. This was Batavia, New York. There is a move of God that is upon us, and we must prepare our hearts. And one of the things that he said that struck me, because I feel like this is one of the things that God has been speaking, that he's saying he's getting ready to heal his church and bring his church into alignment. We've been talking about that over and over and over again. And he said that God's secret weapon are the wounded. What was the word? Hold on, I'm losing my. The wounded healers was the word that he used. And those wounded healers are the church that has been hurt over the past decades and that we're limping around and we're not walking in the full power of God. We're not walking in the full outpouring where we're seeing signs and wonders in everybody's life. And many of you can remember the day that you met Jesus and you said yes to him and everything changed. I know in my life, I remember the moment that I surrendered my heart to Jesus. And at that moment, everything was different. My entire life was changed from then on out. And I went through struggles and trials, but there was something. He was with me in everything. And he took generations of sin and destruction, and he came into my life, and he brought reformation and change, and he changed my whole history. And there was such an excitement in life. And I remember people mocking me. When I moved to New England, I lived with these two radical Jesus lovers. And that's all we did was sit around and love on Jesus. And we'd go preach on the streets. And we would do crazy stuff. And we went to this one church. And these pastors looked at us. And I remember the pastor's wife. She said, "Charles, do you remember when we were like that?" And we were so filled with like righteous anger. Because we were like, like, what do you mean when you were like that? This is what everybody's supposed to be like. We're all supposed to be loving Jesus with everything in us. But I think many of us have that testimony, and then life set in and the church hurt us in so many ways. And I can look across the room and I know people's stories, and it's placed a shadow on people's hearts and lives. But God has a secret weapon, and it's called the cross. It's a place where we can find healing, in the same place that we came and met Jesus and believed that he was who he said he was, is the same cross that now we can come to in a day when our hearts are wounded and our trust is shaken and everything around us is shaking. But we can come to the same cross and the same power that delivered us from generational sin, that delivered us and brought us into the kingdom of light, that satisfied our souls in the deepest place of our heart, that is the same cross that wants to come and answer the cry of your heart today to see more of heaven released in our region. The same faith that God's been teaching us to walk in over these decades with him. And some of you are new in the faith, and this is your hour. God has brought you into the kingdom in this hour for such a time as this to declare his glory, because he's going to be glorified. He saved you for this hour. It is a mighty day in the Lord. This is a mighty day in the Lord. God will be glorified. Jesus is going to be glorified in this nation. But he's looking for the church to arise. And I want to turn to part of it is receiving his faith. And I want to talk about it's a place of, he's wanting us to come to the cross to meet him in a new place and to surrender to him, because he is the author and finisher of our faith. He is the one that gives us the ability to believe who he is. Faith is not just knowing that God can do it and believing. It's this conviction. It's this deep-seated place that knows that God is going to produce a miracle in front of us. It's something weightier. There is a maturity and a deepening of our faith that God is calling us to as the church. It's a deepening of our faith that's going to begin to release miracles in our lives in everyday, normal, mundane things. We are called to be a supernatural people, and the world is so hungry for a living God. But the church has been so beaten up. She looks tattered, and her dress is torn. And she's got dirt on her face. And God is saying, I am coming to clean up my bride. I am coming to restore her into her rightful place. But it's going to come with a place of humility of our hearts. And we've been doing this over and over, week after week, I feel like. But we keep coming to this place of repentance, because repentance is the only place. It's that place of the cross where we come and we exchange the lie that we've believed of the enemy for the truth of the gospel. And we turn away, we walk away from our sin. And I want to go to Hebrews. Because when we look at the chapters on faith, we have Hebrews 11, which is the faith chapter, and I'm going to get there. But if we notice, before they start talking about living by faith, chapter 10 begins to talk about the perfect sacrifice, Jesus who came, the perfect sacrifice to set us free. This is the covenant I will make them, the Lord says. I will put my laws on their heart and write them on their minds, and I will never again remember their sins and their lawless acts. Nowhere there is forgiveness of these. There is no longer an offering for sin. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have boldness to enter the sanctuary through the blood of Jesus, he has inaugurated for us a new and living way through the curtain. People couldn't reach Jesus. And when Jesus came, he tore the separation between us and God. And now we're able to boldly, as we are, as sinners, walk into the Holy of Holies. We're able to come before the Lord, receiving the sacrifice, the one and only sacrifice that Jesus gave to wash away our sins. And we find this new and living way. It produces life in us. The whole Isaiah 61, it's Jesus. He came to give us life, that we could share life out of who we are. We're going to demonstrate his glory by becoming like him. We have, because of our pains and hurts of the past, we've begun to define our lives, our church lives, by what we're not going to do. We've defined ourselves that what we don't want to look like. And Jesus is saying, lay that down and come and define yourself by who I am. We need to be defined by the power and the glory of the risen Christ. The one who has satisfied our soul and has washed our sin so that we can come before a holy God day in and day out, living before the throne of God and seeing him manifest miracles in our midst here in the natural, here, now, this day. There's a church that needs to arise, and this is the place he wants to bring us to, and he wants us to bring our place of arrogance to the cross. I have been around so many arrogant people that are hurt, and the rolling of the eyes, the laughing and the mocking, the cynicism, the unbelief, the humanism, the rationalization, these are the sins of the church today. These are the sins of the church, and we need to bring those sins before the cross and say, Jesus, I surrender all. We need to begin to define our lives by the risen Christ, by the blood that he shed on the cross for us, and it is in that place that we receive a faith that can change nations. It is in that place that we can receive a faith that will change our family. That is the place that we receive faith to see our spouses healed and delivered. It's the cross, and it's still as powerful today as it was the day he was on it. Nothing has changed. We sing these songs that there is no one like you. There is no one like him. And the power of the nations and the wickedness that's controlling power structures is not even, they pale in the sight of the living king. And we need to write our posture and write our stance and come before the cross and receive the faith of God. We need to receive what he has for us. And then when we go down, listen to this. This is Hebrews chapter 10, and he's talking to the church. And he says, remember the early days when after you had been enlightened, you endured a hard struggle with suffering. Sometimes you were publicly exposed to taunts and afflictions, and other times you were companions of those who were treated that way. For you sympathized with the prisoners and accepted with joy the confiscation of your possessions, because you know that you yourselves have a better and enduring possession. So don't throw away your confidence, which has a great reward, for you need endurance so that after you have done God's will, you may receive what was promised. And God is calling us to that place of endurance, and all hell is weighing on our souls. It's a mind battle. There is a weakness of heart. There's a struggle that's upon us. And believe me that it is not just you going through it. It is in the nation right now. There is a battle going on for souls right now, and the enemy is trying to take you out. He's trying to weigh you down with the lies of the enemy that God is not big enough to change a nation in a day. He is calling us to it says, you make me brave. He wants to give us faith to walk in boldness. It says, the righteous are bold as a lion. We're bold as a lion. And he's asking us to stand up. And I'll tell you what, we have been blessed to be in this country. And I want to tell you something today. The Constitution is worth fighting for. It's a day that we need to rise up as the church and not be afraid and to see God do mighty things and receive the promise that he has given us. But it says, for yet in a little while, the coming one will come and not delay, but my righteous ones will live by faith. We have to live by faith. We must come up out of the dredges and all the things that weigh us down and trying to look good and put on this place of being a Christian. We've got to rise up as people of faith that believe in the living God. I have no pleasure. It says, but my righteous one will live by faith, and if he draws back, I have no pleasure in him. But we are not those who draw back and are destroyed, but those who have faith and are saved. That is who we are. We are those that have faith and are saved. And I told these stories a couple weeks ago, but I want to just share skinny. A couple of weeks ago, I shared a story. There was a time in my life that I went through two series of robberies within like a month. And I was like the victim of like an armed robbery. And when I told the story, the first one that came, I was like, shoot. I was like, okay, all right, the guy's got the gun, and I'm standing here. And I was like, Jesus, where are you, you know? And everything was fine. I had prayed, like I knew something was up, so I had prayed before. And then the second one, God had prepared me. Because I knew when the enemy came in, there was a preparation in my heart. There was a place of conviction that was formed after that. I had gone home and I had mulled over the greatness of God. I had spent time thinking about how he delivered me in that moment. I began to think about the fear that struck me and where my heart was in that moment. And all of a sudden, the next time that it happened, and the next time was actually much more dangerous. I mean, it could have been, I was like at a bank machine. I really could have gone really... And God, I received the faith of God in that moment. And when I tell you, it was literally like a shaft of light. I felt like I was like a superhero because I was there. And all of a sudden, this guy challenged me. I have a gun in my face. And he says, open the door or I'll shoot you. And it was like the power of God just overcame me. And I looked at him and I said, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. And he said, I mean it. And I said, I mean it too. And I screamed at him. I started my car and just pulled away. And I went and I worshiped the king. But I am telling you, God is preparing his people. He's preparing his people to receive the faith of God. To stand in those moments and not cower down, to stand in the face of trial, to stand in the face of things that are not aligned with the word, that whole Isaiah 61, beauty for ashes, the spirit of joy for mourning. Does your life look like that? Are you filled with the power and the joy of the Lord? Are you emanating the glory of God through everything that you do? You're just walking around and people are like, whoa, who is that person? Is that us? That is where God's taking us to. And he is preparing us to be those people. Let's go to chapter 11. I love the faith chapter, right? It says, now, faith is the reality of what is hoped for, the proof of what is not seen. For by it our ancestors won God's approval. And this was before Jesus came. And it says, by faith we understand the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was made from things that are not visible. By faith, Abel offered to God a better sacrifice. By faith, Enoch was taken away, so he did not experience death. I'm going to go down through this. There's one place I'm going to sit in a second here. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed and set out for a place that he didn't know where he was going to receive the inheritance. By faith, Sarah herself was... She was unable to have children, received power to conceive offspring. These all died in faith, although they did not receive the things that were promised, because he was waiting to give that so that all of us could participate in this. By faith, Moses, when he was born, he was hidden. By faith, Isaac was blessed by Jacob. By faith, it goes on about Moses leaving Egypt and the whole thing there. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after being marched around by the Israelites for 7 days. That's crazy, people. Okay, God asked us to do things by faith, and we need to stop defining our lives by what we think is weird, what we're not going to do anymore, because we need to be relevant. We need to obey Jesus. We need to be filled with the power and the presence of God. If you have ever been in a room with the presence of God, it is so real. It is so tangible. It electrifies your entire being, and nothing else matters. The only reason we have the luxury to sit around and talk about what we're going to define ourselves by is because we are not in the presence of the Lord. If the presence of God was that heavy in our place, I promise you, we would all be on our faces just receiving faith from God. And that is where he's bringing us to. I am so hungry for the presence of God. I am so tired in living in something that's less than my birthright. And there is a desperation that is filling my soul that is saying, God, I want to see a move of God. I want to see you save the nation. I'm tired every single day, day in and day out, looking around and seeing wickedness triumph. And I'm telling you, God is wanting to pour out faith in his people to make us rise up as bold witnesses of the living God. That was when David came and he said, who defies the living God? Who is it? Who is this person? He's wanting us to rise up in the same faith as David and say, who's defying the living God? And he's given us our lions and he's given us our bears and he's preparing us as the church to arise and to begin to speak forth his word and see his promises come to pass. They're not empty promises. He is a real God and he really changes things in a real way. Oh, Jesus. By faith, Rahab, the prostitute, welcomed the spies in peace and didn't perish with those who disobeyed because he's a good God. And then listen to this, and it says, what more can I say? Time is too short for me to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Japheth, David, Samuel, and the prophets who by faith, listen to this, guys. When I read this, I thought, God, give us faith. Who by faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched the raging fire. Have any of you done that lately? Have you conquered kingdoms? Have you administered justice? Have you shut the mouths of lions? Do you have faith to shut the mouths of lions? It's a big question in the day when we've got a pandemic and everybody's afraid, right? There's many churches not even still meeting. Those aren't people that shut the mouths of lions, guys. Either he's a living God and he can do what he says or he's not. Quench the raging of fire, escape the edge of the sword, gain strength in weakness. Gain strength in weakness. We need to rise up in the strength of the Lord. The weakness of the church is dissipating and the glory of God is coming. And he's saying, I will be glorified. I will be glorified. I am coming and I will be glorified. Became mighty in battle. Oh, Jesus, make us warriors. And put foreign armies to flight. Women received their dead, raised to life again. Other people were tortured, not accepting release so that they might gain a better resurrection. And this is what I want to say this right here. There is a time coming that we will see a level of wickedness in the earth arise. But I am telling you, this is not that. This is not that moment in time. God is ready to show his glory and manifest his glory. The church has not been ready. And if we think in the weakness of our state right now that we are going to be tortured for the faith, because people are like, oh, like, you know, we don't need to be involved in defending anything because it's all going to happen anyways, and the Lord's just going to deliver us. He'll be with us in everything. Well, we just failed the COVID test, guys, as the church in our nation, okay? The church in our nation has been absent when the world has needed a savior. They have been in their homes watching TV because they were afraid to go out and demonstrate the glory of God. That is called massive failure, and that is why I am preaching this message today, because God is putting a faith in his church that is going to astound the lost. People are going to come running and saying, who is your God? Who is your God? That is what's coming. God is looking for a church that is ready, that is beautiful, that trusts in him. We're not with our trust issues, like, oh, I don't know, I'm not sure, you know, I don't know if God can do it, and it's just so hard. We need to come into a place of, it's a trust that is so deep that you, when something lies to you, that is not my God. That is not my God. When depression, that is not my God. That is not who he is. That is not who he says I am. When trials come, you look and you say, okay, I'm your girl. I say that to him all the time. I'm like, I'm your girl. I'm your girl. Do you believe that? Do you believe you're his girl? Do you believe that you're his son? That he's going to show up for you in any circumstance? That is the God that we serve. And he is going to heal the wounded in our midst. And he's asking you today to bring your arrogance, to bring your cynicism, to bring that person that hurt you in the church that made you think that Jesus wasn't who he said he was, because this is what his church looks like. Certainly, certainly. And I've seen, you guys, I know. I was one of those, okay? So I know, okay? I know that leaders have let you down. But just like we bring our parents to the cross, just like we bring any type of disappointment to the cross, in the same way, we must bring every disappointment or perceived failure of the church in our lives to the living God and say, heal me and let me receive your faith to see her restored. And it is that restored bride that is arising in our midst now, and she is coming. She is coming. Believe you me, God is going to have himself a bride without spot or wrinkle. When he says it in his word, that is a promise from the Lord, and that is going to happen. That is going to happen. Just as I'm standing here, God is going to have himself a bride. Now, the thing today, though, is we can go there willingly by humbling ourselves, or we can go there with him kicking and screaming, and it's not a fun way. It's not a fun way. But I'll tell you what, when we get there, there's nothing like a wounded healer. A wounded healer has the eye of the tiger. She's ready. She knows. And I remember there was a time in life, it was, I was wounded. I wasn't wounded by a person in this instance. I was wounded by sin. I had let myself down. But it's the thing that actually brought me to Boston. I had taken a job that the Lord had told me not to take. I was in one business, and then I had somebody pursuing me for another, and the Lord had specifically told me not to do it. And so I said no at first, and I said, it's because the Lord told me not to. And so I just said that right out. It was a law office, a lawyer. He asked me, and I said, no, I can't. I said, because I'm serving Jesus, and if he calls me, I have to go anytime. I can't commit to you a certain amount of time, and I must obey the Lord. So then this guy pursues me week after week until he finally says, whatever you want, come. I'll give you any kind of job you want. Just come. Which, you know, as a 19, 20-year-old, I had no idea what that entailed in his mind. But the problem was I had disobeyed the Lord, and I took the job. And then, not only did I take the job, I worked in the job for like a year, knowing that I had disobeyed the Lord. And I didn't repent for the full year. And I had friends that I would call, and probably 6 or 8 months into it, they said to me on the phone, they said, Stephanie, they said, you're dying. And they were in Florida. And they said, you're dying spiritually. Something is really wrong. And I defended myself or whatever. But I knew in my heart, and it began to break down the wall. And God provided a person that brought somebody to New England. And we were having a prayer time because I was still doing my stuff with Jesus, even though I was walking in disobedience. And this guy looked at me and he said, you need to repent. And I was overcome. And I, you know what, I was so disappointed is because I had walked so long in disobedience. And I thought, God, I've lived in this for so long. I didn't run back to you. I could have easily gone and taken my other job, but I chose something. And then I almost lost my soul over it. And I was so disappointed. And I'll tell you, in that moment, I was totally delivered. And I wasn't only delivered of that, because part of it was like a familiar spirit from the past that had attached itself to me in another point in my life. And I was delivered of that spirit. I was delivered of the shame. And I was so thankful to be clean before the Lord. Some of you guys might know what that feels like. When you come and you confess your sin, And you are so right with God, and it feels so good to know that you're not disobeying him anymore, that he's embraced you. And so it was in that moment, it was a couple weeks later, I was actually getting ready to move back to Florida, and I had shipped stuff home, everything, I was ready, I was going back, and the Lord spoke to me, and he said, go to Boston. And I said, yes, sir. I said, you can take me, you can tell me to go to the moon, and I'll try to get there. There was nothing that I wasn't going to do at that moment. I was a wounded healer in that moment. I had tasted the bitterness of sin, and I had tasted the beauty of righteousness, the righteousness of God filling my heart. And I said, God, I'll go anywhere. And I called my mom, and I said, I'm going to Boston. I don't have a job. I don't have a place to stay. I don't know anything, but I know the Lord's spoken to me. Ask him if you have questions, and I'll call you in a couple weeks. And that is literally what I did. I was 21 years old. Came to Boston, and literally God was moving heaven for me. I'm in the city, and people are stopping. Can I help you? You know, where do you need to go? It was like literally I was in this bubble that God had created. And within 2 weeks, I had a job, and I had a place to live. And within a year, I was married to Sean. I'm sharing the story because I want to tell you what it's like to be a wounded healer. And God is bringing us out of our place of wounding and bitterness and places where we are upset with the church and their leadership and the way that they've run and the denominations. And there's so many things that we could sit around and criticize. And people do. People in here do. We hear it all the time. Different people. We sit around and have all of our opinions and lofty things. And God is calling us up to a higher place. He's calling us into that place that we will do anything that he says. And he's asking you today to give up that place of bitterness, to give up that place of arrogance and cynicism. You know, we're so busy defining the lines. And he's like, don't worry about the lines. Let me define your life. Just obey me. And it's in that place that we are going to find the power in the presence of God. We are going to find the outpouring of the supernatural. And like I said, it's brooding right now. Man, we were praying today. We prayed this whole thing, didn't we, this morning? We were like praying, oh, the rain of heaven's coming. But when we were praying today, this is what's on God's heart. We were praying about the church this morning. We spent 2 hours. I don't know if it was all night, but I know in our session, we were hammering the church and the maturity of the church and her coming into this place. God is speaking this. He's wanting to revive his church. And if you're new to his church, he's wanting to bring you into a place of glory and power because this is not what she's supposed to look like. She's supposed to look like somebody that has power and glory on her life. That's what she's supposed to look like. And I don't want you to look and think, oh, this is how you do church. You just show up on Sundays and you think that he might help you in your life a bit. He's your crutch. No, no, that is not the gospel. The gospel is you come and you exchange the burden of sin, of life's weights, of all the things. You surrender to Jesus and his ways. And you say, God, I'm surrendering. I believe, Jesus, that you died on the cross for me and you made a way for me to come into the presence of a holy God. A holy God, I can stand face to face and see you face to face communing with my heart being opened and healed of all the places of insecurity, all the lies of the enemy that are telling me I'm not good enough, I'm not enough, that I've done this wrong, I've done that wrong, the big loser on your forehead, the orphan heart that's always looking for affirmation from somewhere else. That's always looking to medicate and find a way to numb the pain. He wants to remove the pain. He wants to set you completely free. And there is a power. Guys, we're not going to have 2 years. We have got to find a power of God that is real, that can literally change our lives. We must come as the church to a place of humility. We've got to come to the cross. We've got to come, and it's in that place that there's a divine exchange. There is a difference between humanistic belief and a divine faith. There is a difference. And that's what I'm talking about today. Don't look at me and say, oh, I believe. It's not about believing. It's receiving the faith of heaven to see miracles on earth. It's something totally, totally different. And I'm going to finish out with this. Oh, Jesus. Wait, is that the... Let's go to chapter 12. It says, therefore, since we have also such a large cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every hindrance and the sin that so easily ensnares us. Let us run with endurance the race that lies before us, keeping our eyes on Jesus, the source and the perfecter of our faith. He is the source of our faith. He is the one that gives us the ability to believe. He's the perfecter. He's the one when we're like, I don't know about this stuff. You come and say, but I'm surrendering. I'm surrendering. You know, in Mark, it talks about the father of that boy that had demons. And he said, I believe. Help my unbelief. He came to Jesus and said, help me. And Jesus said, all things are possible to those that believe. That belief is a weightiness of trust in the living God. It's not a passing fancy. And this is what I'm talking about. Our passing fancies have to leave. We've shown our passing fancies over this last year. We've seen it. We've seen it. When push came to shove, we backed off. Well, I don't know, and I don't want to offend somebody, and I'm not sure. And, you know, and we just got quiet around us. The Lord is wanting us to receive faith from God, and that faith is going to challenge people. That faith is going to stand in the face of unbelief, and it's going to convict hearts. When the revivalists came into the room, people would fall on their faces before the living God and say, heal me, touch my heart. They'd be undone because the presence came. I'm not talking about performance. I'm talking about the power of the living God, the presence of the living God showing up in our midst and convicting our hearts, changing us. Oh, change us, God. Change us today, God. Change us. Father, come. Reveal every hidden place in us, God. Oh, Jesus. There is a beautiful day in front of us, but we must not let our arrogance and our pride humanism. God has the rightful place on the throne of our hearts, not our logic, not our rationalization. Jesus alone. Jesus alone. And so I'm coming to you today and I'm asking for us to come in repentance once again. Because I promise you there's an exchange of the faith of heaven that God wants to give you for your own life, for your children's life, for your church, for your nation. He's wanting us to have faith to see him move and be glorified in the nations. And he's not a God that gives away his glory lightly. He says, I will be glorified. I came to destroy the works of the devil. That's what Jesus came for, to destroy the works of the devil. And he means to do just what he said he came for. He means to do that. So let's get ourselves out of the way and receive from heaven today. And as I've been preaching this, I'm telling you, I've been undone in my own heart and life because I'm tired. I'm tired of not walking in the power and seeing Jesus glorified in my everyday life. And there was a day that I tasted that. But as a leader, you get burdened with people's opinions. You get burdened with culture. You get burdened with stuff that begins to invade your heart, and you start changing. And I need to repent for changing my message to suit people's ears. Changing my message so I don't offend somebody. Oh, Jesus. Come and purify our hearts, God. You and you alone are God. You and you alone are the way, the truth, and the light. No one is set free through you. No one is changed except through you.